Hi, my name's Rich and we're Consumer Hub and we focus on consumer and tech recruitment, and this is the FMCG podcast where we speak with the leaders today and hear their insights into leadership within sales, marketing, innovation and the sector, and also their category expertise. We're really excited to have Danny Ball on the show today from Dung Snacks. Dung Snacks is a new product and we're going to hear all about it today from Danny. Danny, over to you. Give us a quick top line on you and the business.
Good morning. Where to start? So I started Dung Snacks almost a year ago. My background has been largely digital. So I've been in the digital world for a very long time, probably longer than most people listening, I think, given the young age of people who listen to podcasts and in this world. I cut my teeth in software, e-commerce industry. That was way back when, even when the internet wasn't even established. So I remember one of my favorite stories of that time is starting in an e-commerce company who were putting all their money on installable software. So in order to buy online, you had to install the software. Thinking back, it's quite bonkers now that's the case. Cut my teeth in the e-commerce digital industry, worked for a variety of different size agencies over the years, started and run my own agency, which I sold a few years ago, and have always just wanted to get away from the sort of bums on seats service-based industry. And always wanted to create a product, and hence sort of Dung is my product that I've been crafting over the last year or so.
Nice. Well, yeah, just on that point, really interested to hear the progression. Give us a bit of an insight into Dung. What's Dung all about?
So Dung is a range of healthy snacks that are, I'm talking really healthy. So I don't, you know, can we record that bit again?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. I'll spill for it again.
All right.
Just tell us about Dung then, Danny. What's the proposition on the Dung product itself?
So Dung is all about creating healthy snacks. And by that, I mean really healthy snacks. The snacking industry is full of snacks that claim to do good and claim to be healthy, but actually aren't. So, you know, our first product is a healthy snacking bar. And if you look at this, the protein bar market in particular, you know, they're really sort of emulsified, all the ingredients schmulzed up together. Quite often they taste like paste. You know, they have the right amount of things like protein, and they say they have healthy ingredients, but actually when you sort of dive into them, they're not that healthy. And quite often they create more problems than they try to solve. So really we're all about creating a range of healthy snacks for young professionals who are generally on the go, who care about what they put into their body and want those things. You know, they want great taste, they want the right amount of protein. So we've got all that stuff and that's what we're delivering. But we've got this added benefit of being functional and being good for you. So we have, we're focused on the three brains concept. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's your head, heart and gut. Yeah. So we're releasing a range of products that are good for one of those areas. Nice. The first being our snack bar, which is good for guts. And it's been a wild ride so far. It's been super interesting being new to the industry and creating something that we can, you know, that we can confidently say is good for you, that you can see the ingredients. You know, it's not one of these sort of smushed up emulsified bars that people eat. It tastes good, it looks good. And it is good, and it's, yeah, like I say, it's been a wild ride so far.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I always say, so me and Harry, kind of a while back, got a bit obsessed about trying different protein bars and health bars, and we've got our favourites. We kind of found they sort of typically fall into two types, broadly speaking. You've got the date squish, and then you've got the weird squish. And the weird squish is that kind of like goo, no big names are to be mentioned, but I know exactly what you mean when you say emulsified. It's just kind of like, it feels a bit too clarty and chalky and sticky to be good for you. And then you've got some of the other bars at the more value end, and they just taste like dates. No matter what they say on the front, it tastes like a date squish. And there's some people that really, really deliver a great protein bar that's like kind of very, very lean, kind of clean deck. And I've kind of got my favourites. But I always just think it's a really interesting space because there's a lot of new entrants coming in. There's a lot of established players, but I think there's still room for a better product. So it's interesting you talking about that there. The three brains concept, that is interesting. So that's I was aware of the link between the brain and the gut, but I hadn't heard of the three brains and the heart bit as well. Just talk us through that, because that is a really nice little marketing hook, actually, for the concept.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It's a wider help.
Yeah. And I love your description. Clarty, by the way, that's a very northern term.
It is a proper Yorkshire term, isn't it, that?
Yeah. But it describes it very well. You know, the people we've spoken to during our development, people just don't want stuff that tastes like paste. And that's what some people have said. You know, these bars taste like paste. So it's really interesting to hear your view on that as well. And I love that thing about there only being two choices. That's kind of where we're at. I would probably add a third to that as well, actually. There are bars out there that have sort of more of a nut, seed
base. That's true. That's true.
But again, they tend to be really high in sugar, you know, lots of added extras and just not that great for you. So I would say we fall into that. And then we've got the added benefits of being, you know, having the right amount of protein and stuff like that, which we'll hopefully go into. But that three brains concept, it's nothing new. It's been around for a while. Obviously, the idea is these, you know, the three brains, it's the core of your body. It's the core of who you are. And many people believe that starts in the gut. And I think we're only at the very beginning of understanding just how powerful the gut is and the our gut microbiome. You know, there are many bits of research going on. And again, even as recently as last year, we're only starting to realize just how much of an impact the gut has on us. You know, there are more sort of good and bad gut cells in our guts than there are cells in other parts of our body. So that idea of the three brains looking after those three important areas, your head, heart, and gut, but starting in the gut for us is really important. Again, because it drives and dictates how healthy you are in other parts of your body. So it doesn't matter what you're looking at elsewhere in your body, if you haven't got that good gut element, that could really be detrimental.
It
doesn't matter what you're doing. If you don't look after your gut, you will probably find that your health in other parts of your body isn't going to be good anyway. So we're starting there, like I say, with the bar, it's good for guts. We've worked with a nutritionist to look at the ingredients we're putting into it. Basically, we're using the right amount of diverse fibers. We've got about 8 to 10 grams in total. We're just finalizing, you know, the exact amounts for the bar itself. We've got probiotic in the form of inulin, which comes in chicory root fiber. That's quite a common thing with bars that are purporting to be good for guts and other products that are good for guts. So we're basically bundling that up into a bar with product, you know, with ingredients you can see and you can feel and you can taste, and using things that, you know, like a small layer of dark chocolate to just make it really indulgent. So that'll be our first product, which is launching soon. And then we'll go for probably the protein balls next. We're calling them dung balls, which again with brand we're having so much fun. You know, it's been a really tricky journey in terms of the name and things like that. Because, you know, we talked about that previously. It's really hard to find a good name.
So it's a pretty bold name. And I can imagine it's taken a while to find something that is eye-catching but not overly polarizing. Just give us a bit of an insight into how you came up to it and the journey on that.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to say it came from a flash of inspiration and it was, you know, it's got lots of cool meaning behind it. But a lot of it was out of necessity. We must have went through 50 names, you know, in the beginning. My favorite was Forage Snacks.
Oh, yeah, that's quite good.
But we actually started down the route of branding some of those ideas, in particular Forage. But every time we sort of thought we had a name, there were either businesses that were already called that.
Yeah, yeah.
There were trademarks or similar trademarks that meant we couldn't use it. We couldn't find the domain. So we just spent a lot of time trying to find the right name. And my partner, she was the one who came up with the dung name in the end. And it actually came from the first idea I had. The product as it is now wasn't the original product idea I had. I wanted to do a mushroom jerky just because, you know, the meat industry is having a massive impact on the climate, as we know. And I wanted to do a mushroom jerky to help counter that. But during that process of looking at the product itself, we got a really great bunch of research from some really big names in the food industry, sort of people from high up from companies like Mondelez and Kerry Group and stuff like that, because my partner is in that world. And it just ended up getting to the point of realizing with the research that mushroom jerky wasn't really big enough or tantalizing enough We needed something that was going to sort of have a big impact initially. And we think, you know, looking at the research, snack bars is that. So the kind of the original idea sort of came from the research behind my original idea for the product, the names that just weren't available. And then this whole mushroom, earth, you know, you know, the ground, all of that stuff just led to my partner having a bit of an epiphany of saying, why don't we call it dung? You know, we sort of thought nobody's going to call a product dung. It must be, you know, the name must be. And it was, and we managed to get a decent name. We managed to get the trademark. That's the sort of story of how it came about. But it's one of those Marmite type moments. You either love it or you hate it. Nobody has been indifferent about it. Generally, people in our target audience love it. Older people like me tend to frown at it.
I think it's good. It stands out. He seems to definitely kind of tap into your mission there of, addressing those kind of three brains, heart, gut, and head. You've obviously got a really clear mission and a name that communicates that. Like, how have you found getting into the snacking sector without a background in it? Have you found that you've had fresh perspectives that have sort of resonated with old hands in the industry, or have you found it's just been a kind of bedazzling world of info to get your head around? What's been your experience, Danny?
Well, that's a good question. It's been a roller coaster ride and quite a challenging experience, actually. And had I known then what I know now, I might never have gone into it.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
Actually, I think that's
every journey there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It ends up being, I think a lot of people have said this in different industries, if you go into an industry not knowing those sort of perceived and probably self-imposed limitations, you kind of go into it with a bit of naivety and think, I want to do this. There's no reason why I can't do it. And you end up pushing the boundaries, I think. And I think it's been, that in itself has probably been the most interesting part of the journey. And I think, you know, some of the support we've had from people who, before I started down this route, never sort of had any integration with or any sort of communication with people in the food industry. But just getting out there and, you know, talking to a variety of different people through contacts and then sort of expanding and broadening those contacts has been super interesting. And like I say, some of the people in the food industry that my partner works in, we got some research and feedback and support from some really senior guys in those companies. And it probably would have taken us much, much longer to get to where we are now. And just people who are doing interesting stuff like you guys, you know, there are other people like Fiona Fitz at the Brand Growth Heroes. She's doing some really interesting stuff with supporting people in the industry. I found a lot of knowledge from people like that and support from people like that. So I think without that, it probably would have been more difficult. And I can see why people give up. I can see why people find it so challenging that they sort of stop before they get started. For us, we probably picked the biggest challenge, the biggest sector to go into in terms of snack bars. The pandemic and Brexit has changed things quite dramatically. It's very difficult to create a product that is healthy at a cost you can make it with people you can make it with over a period of time that's, you know, feasible. So again, it's been challenging.
But if you say, so the kind of inflation shakeup and inflation dynamic post Brexit and post COVID, it's been just an absolute roller coaster. And lots of co-manufacturers have struggled because they're, I can think of a few big co-manufacturers down in the Southwest that have had a rocky time because their kind of brand principles they manufacture for are struggling. Like, how have you found it? Have you found there's been a sort of culling of the availability of some of these smaller craft manufacturers to work with, or you know, kind of what's the dynamic like that been there in terms of the kind of product landscape?
Absolutely. That's exactly what we found. And again, I now understand why people end up getting to the point of having a product that, in the nicest possible way, is maybe a bit substandard. So when I went into this, I had a really clear vision of what I want the product to look like, what I wanted it to taste like, and what I wanted the sort of brand to stand for. And I really stuck to that. You know, I wanted you to be able to see what was in it. I wanted you to be able to feel it and really taste those natural ingredients. And I think we've done a really good job of that. What that meant, though, was that we were ruled out of working with the vast majority of manufacturers out there. So, for instance, after the pandemic, the probably the two or three biggest pushbacks we got immediately are, we can't work with nuts anymore. It's too expensive. The machinery is too expensive. The process is too expensive. We can't work with some of the ingredients you want it to, because again, our machines can't cope with it, because we've had to scale down.
Yeah, yeah.
Then some big ones, things like wanting to be gluten free, all that sort of stuff. They were quite big challenges. The number of bars we could produce, for instance. I think in the beginning, the minimum run, a lot of these companies that could do and could work with the ingredients we wanted to work with, they were saying sort of 1 million or 2 million every year. And now, if you're a startup,
it's quite a lot to shift, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're not doing a family and friends market still, are you, with that? That's a lot.
It's absolutely bonkers, and unless you've got a massive amount of investment, you're not going to be able to cope with that. So that was the biggest challenge, manufacturing. And I probably spent the first six to nine months trying to sort that out, and eventually found someone we can work with at the run rate we can work with. They can take us on to, I think, a decent amount of product on the bar. They can also do protein balls. So yeah, that in itself has been a massive challenge. And I can see why people have got to the point of saying, well, we'll just do a clarty paste, like,
we'll do a copycat
protein bar because it's easier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, so tell us a bit about the products then. So what are the flavors, and what's the kind of, how do you arrive at those flavor profiles?
So that's been another really interesting piece of work, actually. And flavors were one area where we thought, in addition to the head, heart, and gut idea, and making something that is, making something that you want to eat and has those additional functional benefits. In addition to that, we sort of really focused on taste. And again, looking at the research, we felt like we had to cover three areas. So we felt like we had to have a stable, popular choice that most people would enjoy. For that one, we've gone with dark chocolate and raspberry. It's really, in terms of how our bar is put together, really lovely taste. It sort of works well with the dark chocolate, the raspberry. We've got actual freeze-dried raspberry on top, so it looks good as well. So that one is going to be a favorite. So the one of the main choices, and that's proven in our pre-orders to be the case. That is that has been our biggest seller so far. Then for a more sort of pushing the boundaries on taste a little bit, we've got gin, pink peppercorn, and ginseng. Again, we sort of, looking at the research, we felt like we needed to just have a flavor that was going to be something that people would want to try, and sort of push the boundaries a little bit. So that's our sort of second flavor. In terms of something that's a bit more emergent and maybe looking at into the future, we have got a vanilla, bourbon, and fig. And again, with all those three, we've got a nice sort of base taste, but then we've got a topping on each of the, so a topping that goes on the chocolate. So for the fig one, we've got freeze-dried fig. For the strawberries, for the raspberries, we've got freeze-dried raspberry. And for the gin, pink peppercorn, and ginseng, we've got actual peppercorns on top. So it's a bit, it's hopefully covering all those different taste profiles.
You said vanilla, bourbon, and fig.
Fig.
So yeah. What's the difference between vanilla and bourbon then? Where does the bourbon come into? That's interesting. Because I always thought bourbon was American whiskey, but that's probably been a bit thick.
Yeah, no, it is actually. That's very true. The bourbon is a type of whiskey, and we've sort of played around with more traditional UK bourbon flavors and sort of US whiskeys, and we actually settled on a flavor that's a US whiskey. Obviously, it's not real. Not real alcohol, but
okay, right. So it's actually mimicking the taste of like a sort of sweet American whiskey, right? That's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that one happens to be my favorite, actually, of all three. I think that's
what catch me, just because it's different. I've not come across that before. That's nice.
Yeah, and weirdly, as we've been going through this process, we sort of had some ideas about what might be the favorite of our audience, or our audience we think are going to be quite young, 24 to 34 year old young professionals, care about what they put into their body, and we're sort of thinking, who's going to like the gin flavor or the bourbon flavor? And so far we've had such a mix of people liking different flavors. I think tastes have matured. What people want and go for in terms of snacks has changed. There's definitely that indulgent aspect to it. People are really busy. So, we think of the sort of snacking occasions, it'll probably be a mix of getting something on the go. So that sort of grabbing a quick bite to eat, you know, getting your protein hit, getting something that is tasty is going to be quite important. But equally, you know, and I've done it myself, our bars are quite big, you know, they're 50 grams. Other bars generally are around sort of 35, 40, 45 max. So it's quite a filling snack.
Our bar. You can eat it for breakfast basically, can't you?
Well, that's it. I think we think meal replacements as well is going to be probably something that people go for. And in fact, sometimes I've had to sort of wrap it up and eat half later because it is quite filling. And we've sort of done that purposefully because I eat a lot of snacking bars. And sometimes I feel a little bit put out by them because they sort of don't really fill a gap. Again, if you're eating a 35 gram, 40 gram bar and you've just had a workout, it doesn't really cut it sometimes. So we're sort of trying
to have a banana with peanut butter on top of your bar, then they're not doing it right, are they? Sometimes exactly. I have that. I have a bar and think, nice, it's banana time now.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a good, interesting idea. We've got like a list of flavors that we want to do, not only for the bars, but for the other products as well. And banana and peanut butter is one of them. I think we might release that as a flavor at some point.
Oh, yeah, I sound like that. I often do banana, honey, and peanut butter. And that's like just a brilliant hit. And I'll do it. I mean, it's proper kind of gross student food, this. But just if I'm out hill walking, that is often what I have out in a sandwich for me because it's such a good hit. But that kind of like sweet honey flavor as well. Because there's some really good honeys out there with some great flavor profiles, especially when you look into like all the Manuka honeys and that. Sometimes you just think honeys, you think like Gales, kind of like clear runny honey. Yeah. It's a bit bland, isn't it? But once you get into kind of some of the more kind of sort of provenanced varieties of honey, like you can get some really good floral ones. Like I've got some mates that are Polish actually, and they're really big into I can't remember the type. It's a certain type of Polish honey that's basically made. It's got flowers at the base of what the bees are doing. I don't know about my honey tech, unfortunately, but it genuinely tastes like flowers. It's great. This honey. And that's a new flavour I've just started to kind of like enjoy recently, some things that have got floral notes, because it's really traditional as well. If you look at old school botanicals, people use flowers all the time, didn't they, to flavour things, but we've really lost that. But I think that's a trend that will come back in soon. And it's interesting you're kind of like linking to that bourbon, but I've not seen anybody do that, but you maybe look into florals as well. And what do I know, but that's just my mind.
I love that idea. And I'm a big tea drinker, nice. Especially with grey. Trialing we're going to do around that as well, because you can get that floral note. And I would say actually the Jinping peppercorn and ginseng has a bit of that.
Does it?
To it.
Yeah.
Got a bit of a sort of floral taste to it, and not too much, but yeah, it tastes really nice. And you know what? Things like that are massively important. Cost of living crisis that we're in, you know, people still want to treat themselves, and we think,
yeah.
Healthy snacking is a way of doing that. And in terms of, you know, what we're offering, that indulgence and feeling full, feeling good about what you're putting into your body, we think that's going to be another way of, you know, people continuing to treat themselves. And, you know, hopefully people would rather spend a few quid on a bar than they would sort of maybe going out, eating out too much and stuff like that. You know, I was reading recently that those are some of the things.
The shopping occasion, because I mean, obviously there's a few different consumer occasions there that make entire sense, but the shopping occasion, are you primarily going to do a D2C kind of buy in advance subscription model or kind of box model, or are you going to be going for kind of routes to market, fine food wholesale? Like where do you see the shopping occasion for people to actually kind of get it into their kibbles or get it into their bag ready for that consumer occasion? Because that's often a bit that we, I think there's been some really good brands in the last few years in terms of concepts, but the execution on the shopping occasion has been either confused or lacking impact. Like, what are your thoughts on how you're going to kind of get the maximum cut through and actually get it into people's hands?
Yeah. So we'd anticipated doing D2C initially for the first 6 to 12 months, which will still happen. So obviously ordering through the website. We're talking to a few quick com providers, so we think that, you know, those apps in terms of quick commerce where you can get something delivered in 15 to 30 minutes, we think that's going to be a big one for us. And the usual social channels, Amazon and selling directly through our social channels as well, is going to be part of the sort of digital e-commerce experience. Again, we had anticipated that lasting 6 to 12 months and then going out to retail, but actually, even before having launched our first physical product, we've been approached by a number of retailers. So,
right, yeah.
first and foremost, we think it'll be maybe more boutique stores, so some of those smaller health food stores, and we're talking to a few companies at the moment. So that sort of grab-and-go occasion where someone is walking into a store, sees our product and can pick it up and try it, and off you go. And then, like you say, D2C through our website, you can buy individual bars, or you could buy packs of the same flavor, or packs of multiple flavors. We will have a subscription option as well. So again, using our own D2C channels is going to be very important for us. And then ultimately, you know, for something like this to be a success, you've got to be where the customers are. We want to be in retail. We want to be in big retailers. So that's definitely part of our journey, and hopefully we'll get there.
Have you got any sort of exciting plans for activation or partnerships that you can share with us?
Yeah, we've got a couple, actually. My favorite probably is because we're a startup, you know, and we've entered an industry that you can spend a lot of money doing not very much.
True.
So we've got to be careful. We've got to be smart about what we do, I think. And one of my favorite bits of marketing we're working on at the minute is a dung beetle. So we are taking a VW beetle, we're wrapping it in a sort of garish design that matches our brand. And that's going to be our delivery vehicle, basically. So, and when we're out and about, the idea is that people will approach us. We'll keep some bars in the back, maybe give them away for free, and we'll get that sort of visual social element to it. You know, one, it matches the brand, and two, I read some research that says on an average car journey over an hour, 3,000 people see your car. Whether or not they're taking that in, who knows? But you know, that's how many times people see a car driving. So if we've got something that is on brand, pushes the boundary a bit in taste of design, I think we'll get a bit of recognition that way. So those are the kind of ideas we're looking at for marketing, just to stretch our budget. I really love what Surreal Cereal have done. I think
so good, isn't it? Yeah,
it's amazing what they've done. And you know, I've had a few conversations with Kit, one of the founders over there, and it's that kind of approach we need to take, I think. So we've got some. We're talking to a few interesting brands that are coming out or are a bit established for partnerships. Another one that we're talking to, who are literally just new, they're called Dead Good Gummies. They're doing interesting things with sort of vitamin based gummies. That's an industry I love as well. It's an industry I think is going to be really big, and I really love their brand. So we're talking about maybe doing something together as well. So that side of marketing I think is going to be really good in those partnerships. And then on the mission side of things, man, it's a sort of long story, but I grew up in quite a rough area in Newcastle, and my upbringing wasn't brilliant. And I had times when we didn't have enough food on the table, and it's quite a violent area as well. So, like I say, it's a long story on that one. But I sort of grew up with a keen understanding of what it's like not to have food and not to sort of have the things you need. So part of my mission for Dung is to help end child hunger. And I want to do that by feeding 1 million kids a year. So the start of that journey is a partnership we've got with a company called Action Against Hunger. And Action Against Hunger are a really great charity. They're already doing really good stuff in around 51 countries. They are feeding and helping currently around 500,000 kids around the world. Most of their work has been done outside of the UK. But because of the pandemic, because of the cost of living, the UK is actually becoming an area that needs help as well, is a bit shameful, actually, that it's gotten to the point where there are, and it's been this way for a while, and people are often surprised at it, but there are around 4 million kids in the UK below the poverty line, and that includes food poverty. And again, I think it's a really shameful place to be for such a wealthy nation to have so many children under the poverty line. And you know, the pandemic's made it worse. More people are using food banks. Cost of living crisis is probably going to have an even bigger impact. So for me, it was really important to have that purpose-driven element to it as well. And if we do nothing else other than help feed kids, I'm more than happy with that. So we've got, like I say, a partnership with Action Against Hunger. We're donating a penny for every sale, every product sold to them. You know, it's not a massive amount, but it's hopefully going to help. And the idea is that not only are we donating some of our profits to them, we'll be doing some other stuff as well that help help with the sort of the mission to help end child hunger. But what I really want to do, and again, we're working with Action Against Hunger on this, is create a movement. So something that other companies can sign up to as well, that they also donate, you know, a penny per product sold to this movement. And if we, you know, the idea is we get enough companies behind us of a variety of different sizes.
Yeah.
Those companies are all, you know, putting in a small amount of profit to the cause, and we can help make a difference that way. So that's sort of in its early days. We've signed up with them. I'm talking to another, another few companies to do that, and we'll just push that. We'll probably call it something like Kids Without Worry, and just really try to drive some kind of change and good while doing business. And I think if more companies can do that, the better it'll be. So
that's really interesting, kind of clear mission to support the Three Brains, clear mission there on sort of ending child hunger in the UK, and kind of some great flavors and kind of ideas around activations. Love that. At the moment, are the products available? Can people go and check you out online and buy?
They can definitely, they can pre-order. So if you go to youngsnacks.com, they can pre-order online. We're looking at probably 4 to 6 weeks to have those products out in the wild. And then after that, we'll just be iterating and building on it. So we'll be releasing new flavors of the bar. We'll be releasing, the dung balls after that. And then our third product for... we've got an idea for is mushroom crisps. So taking us back to that original idea of the mushroom jerky, and mushrooms are just, they're amazing ingredient, amazing product. There are challenges about, around getting them into food products, which again, we're sort of trying to look at. Anyone in the industry, if they're using mushrooms in their products, will have come across limitations with things like the novel food regulations in the EU, which have been adopted by the UK, and getting mushrooms into your product is actually much, much more difficult than it sounds. So once we've got the first few products out, we'll be pushing the mushroom side of things heavily, simply because the benefits of mushrooms on different parts of your body, in particular the gut, are huge. So that's something that to watch out for in terms of our third product there. So once we've got the first few products out, it's going to be a case of pushing the boundaries in terms of taste, pushing what we can do in terms of the ingredients, and just really focusing on the health side of things and improving things as we go.
Well, that's brilliant. Well, look, everyone that's kind of checked in with us today, hope you all go and check out Danny's store. Check out Dung, get a pre-order in, and please do reach out to Danny if you've enjoyed the show, enjoy the insight into Dung. You know, where we do the show just to kind of give back to the industry, and everybody, all the guests on our show do it because they can share their insights as well. So I hope you've enjoyed that, and we wish you all the best, Danny. Keep us up to speed. We'd love to give it some love and share what's going on LinkedIn, and stay tuned, everybody, and we'll see you soon. Take care.